Alright, welcome back to the Weekend Warrior Podcast. This is episode 8. This is our NBA Draft Special.
The first annual.
First annual NBA Draft Special. It is June 21st, so the draft is tomorrow night, June 22nd. So we're going to give you kind of a preview of everything NBA Draft. So our entire show from beginning to end is going to be all NBA Draft stuff. We do have This Week in Sports History, but a little twist on that. It's only NBA draft history, so we'll talk about different drafts, different things that happened in different drafts that changed not only franchises, but also kind of the scope of the entire league with some of them. So that's what we got for you today. Okay, as always, thanks to MDOT for the intro and outro music. We're actually changing, we're tweaking the intro and outro music a little bit, but it still is MDOT, so shout out to him. You can reach him at MDOT Boston. And that's on Instagram and Twitter. You can also find him on Spotify. And his newest album, Ego and the Enemy, is on iTunes right now. You can email us at weekendwarpod@gmail.com. Okay, no E's. So WKNDWARPOD@gmail.com. And the Twitter handle is exactly the same, WKNDWARPOD. All right, so send us an email, send us a tweet. Send us a message by carrier pigeon. Do whatever you got to do to get in touch with us, okay? So without further ado, let's start our NBA draft special. All right, so I guess you kind of have to start right at the beginning, right? Celtics trade the number one pick to Philadelphia. Fireworks over the weekend. I was a little concerned just because I thought, why are they doing this now? You know, why not? Why aren't they waiting until Thursday night? It didn't seem to make sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, they could have done it either way. Something had to have happened with Fultz, because it seemed like they were going all in on Fultz at first. Like, after the lottery and with Lonzo going to the Lakers, it seemed like they were all in on Fultz. And I guess it works out, because now it kind of shows their commitment to Isaiah. Like, they're not going to draft a point guard number one overall, and, you know, you have to pay him more money.
That is true.
So,
That is true.
I don't know if you have to do that for a number three pick, too, but I think the number one gets...
Three might be close.
Yeah, it's probably close.
But it's not there. So
you think they trade that pick?
Well, we'll get into some talk about that, but I think either two things can happen. I think either Godzingis is out there and they trade number three for him,
mm-hmm.
Or they move back with Sacramento and get 5 and 10. In that scenario, they have somebody in mind specifically that they want at 5. And so unless that guy drops to that, like, so for instance, they say to Sacramento, okay, who do you want? Okay, we want Tatum. All right. You want Tatum. We're comfortable with Tatum. He may not be our number one guy, but if we have like a 1-1A. Maybe he's 1A, right? We'd be okay with it. So we'll draft Tatum at 3. If, say it's Isaac, say Isaac drops to 4 or 5, say it's Fox, whoever it is, if that guy drops to 5, we'll trade you 3 for 5 and 10. That's the only way I see them trading. You know, it's either that or Porzingis. I'm going to pray to God that they're not going to trade it for Paul George or Jimmy Butler or any of those other schmucks.
Give me Butler. I'd take Butler.
But for number 3?
Yes.
He's only got 2 years left on his deal, though.
He'll resign here.
I disagree with that 100%. But you never know. You could convince him, I suppose. It's possible.
More money when you resign with the team you have. And his bird years would carry over.
That's true.
To the Celtics. So
That is true. But I still think that... I don't know. I don't trust it. I don't trust Butler resigning. And honestly, after what I saw last year in the playoffs, where Avery Bradley... significantly shorter and significantly lighter, shut him down single-handedly. I was not happy about that. So, no. You know, I mean, I was happy about it at the time, obviously.
A change of scenery could help him.
Certainly could.
I just feel like he's the the guy that fits more than anybody. Like, would you rather have him or Avery Bradley?
It's easy. Well, it's an obvious choice, right? But it just, you know, I just wonder who you get at three, you have under control for a while, fairly cheap. And so then the question becomes, is it Avery Bradley or Jimmy Butler? Is it whoever you're drafting at three or Jimmy Butler? So that, to me, that's where I make the decision is say, look, we're not winning the championship this year. If we were going all in trying to win the championship this year or next year, I'd be all down for it. But we're not. So, you know, to me, it doesn't make any sense. So
but this Porzingis thing is so wild.
Porzingis
thing is crazy.
Out of control.
Like, the Knicks, you know how hard it is to find a guy who's 7'3", he's 21 years old, he can do anything, and Phil's going to trade him. He knows what he's doing, apparently.
The Knicks are my favorite. It's just like, how could you possibly be that stupid? How is it possible that you're that dumb that you're going to trade Porzingis? And I get it. Maybe he's not happy. Fine. Let him not be happy.
Make him happy.
But, like, Jesus Christ. Like, it's just, it's out of control. And honestly, if I'm the Celtics, I say to them, okay, here's the deal. I'll take one of your shit contracts off your hands, too.
Yeah.
You want to trade Porzingis? You want to get rid of him? That's fine. I'm sure you want to get rid of Carmelo or Noah as well. So, fine. I'll do it. I'll take it. I'll take on, you know, whether it be Carmelo or whether it be... Well, I already talked about Carmelo on this, right?
First episode.
I'm okay with Carmelo. Give me Carmelo. I'm fine with it. I think it's an upgrade for the Celtics over a guy... Maybe not over Avery Bradley, but scoring-wise, it's a huge upgrade for Celtics. And so,
for anybody, really.
Yeah, and so that's the thing is that you instantly throw him into the rotation.
So, or you trade him to Cleveland for Kevin Love.
No fucking way they do that. Although, that'd be unbelievable. But, I mean, like, holy shit, could you imagine that? Dude, I'd fucking trade. I wouldn't even want... I don't even care. Don't even give me Kevin Love. Just fucking take Carmelo. Take Carmelo and send us back two expiring contracts or whoever that would be. I don't know. I don't know if the money would work. But, like, you know, I don't need Kevin Love back. I'd love to have Kevin Love back.
I'd love to have Kevin Love. I'm still on the Kevin Love to the Celtics bandwagon. I've been there for 5 years now.
Well, you know, what's interesting about him is that watching him in Cleveland is tough because he just doesn't really fit in what they do.
Wait, he doesn't fit at all. He's not going to put up numbers like he did in Minnesota, but he's playing with a bunch of, you know, garbage there. But, I mean, is he even 30?
I don't think so.
No, still in his prime, and he can still score.
Yeah.
It's as hard to score when you have Kyrie and LeBron
there. It is. Well, and you know, they're hogging all the minutes, and they're trying to get everything in, you know.
And J.R. Smith taking a shot every time he hits the ball. So,
fucking guy, dude. But that's what the Cavs want, and they turned him into a corner three shooter, which is all he does. What the fuck? It's Kevin Love.
Yeah.
He has good post moves down low, but they don't want to use him down low because LeBron or Kyrie might drive to the basket and then he's in the way.
Yeah, he's a great power forward. He's one of the best in the league when utilized correctly. But
I think it's lunacy. So I'd be all down for that, dude. That would be fantastic. You know, pull the Cavs in and send the number three pick and, you know, whoever else to the Knicks. And honestly, look, here's the thing for me. You can't sign Avery and IT. You can't do it. It's not going to work. You can't sign both of them. So you have to get rid of one of them because, you know, you're building for the future. And so as you're building for the future, you want to get assets for guys that you're not going to be able to re-sign that are quality players. Kelly Olynyk, not a quality player. Like, we can let him walk for nothing. Like, you know, thanks for the memories. Appreciate it, bud. Love you, mean it. See you later, right? But, like, no one's going to give up anything for that guy. Isaiah and Avery Bradley, people are going to give up things for those guys. You can't have them on your team this year and let them walk at the end of next year and get nothing in return. You can't let that happen. And so, you know, where you're not going to win a championship, you want to do that. Now, obviously, if I'm the Celtics, I'm looking to move Avery over Isaiah because Isaiah is a better player, I think. Maybe not all around, but he's a better NBA player.
Much more
player.
Consistent, and he doesn't get hurt. I mean, he got hurt this year, but I mean, other than that, he's never really missed any significant time.
Well, I mean, you saw him in the playoffs. He's a fucking warrior.
Yeah.
Like, he just, you know, and so he might be hurt, too, so that might hurt his trade value. So we'll see what happens, but You know, Avery Bradley's the guy that I'd be looking to move. If you can move him, that would be the guy I'd be looking to move. So any of those big names that are out there on the market, if I can get that guy with a guy for a guy like Avery Bradley or someone like that, then I'm down. I'll do that. You know what I mean?
But so they're in a position where they don't even have to trade him to get someone good in return.
No, you're right. Well, they have so many assets, it's insane. Right, at this point.
But do you think a lineup of Thomas, Bradley, and say like Gordon Hayward, and then Porzingis at power forward with Horford at center?
That's just stupid. No, Porzingis would play center. He's 7'3".
Well, yeah. They have him at power
forward. But I mean, that's true, right? But I mean, he would play center.
Yeah, which would be perfect too, because Horford wants to play power forward.
Exactly.
Unbelievable how all of this is kind of falling together. Because Cleveland's imploding. And I'm telling you right now, if the Celtics play Cleveland next year in the playoffs, they're going to beat them.
Yeah, well, it depends on what happens in Cleveland, right? If Cleveland somehow swings a Jimmy Butler trade and doesn't get rid of any of their guys currently, which I don't know if that's even possible, but if they somehow build that, you know, then look out.
Well, I heard today that players are... I don't know if they're Cleveland players, but they're telling Jimmy Butler to stay away because of the whole situation with the general manager.
Right.
Well, that team is a damn dumpster fire right now.
Yeah. Well, you know what a lot of people thought is that a lot of people thought Paul George would go there, and then him and LeBron would both opt out and go to the Lakers or the Clippers, whichever one. But I don't know. At this point, I mean, I guess Indiana is just stupid because Indiana should have traded Paul George last year. Yeah, they weren't really going anywhere anyways. It was stupid for them to hold on to him when the writing's been on the wall for years now that he's not staying in Indy.
Right.
He's going to opt out and he's going to L.A. Everyone's been saying it for like 3 years that he's going to opt out and go to L.A. And Indiana just never saw the writing on the wall, held on to him too long, and now they're going to get nothing for him because he's a rental guy basically for 1 year. And so it's like... who the hell is going to do that, you know? And so that's the challenging part of it there. Now, if I'm the Celtics, maybe, if Indy's looking to do something, maybe I trade Avery Bradley and a non-lottery first-round pick. Because I would think George is an upgrade over Avery Bradley.
Yes, but I think a lot of people are overrating Paul George right now.
You're probably right.
He hasn't done anything since he broke his leg, really.
Yeah, that's true. Well, you're right. I mean, people are just saying, oh, you know, you'd beat LeBron if you had Paul George. I'm like, what are you talking about?
I don't think so, because they had a decent team in Indiana. Not that they were going to beat Miami, but they took him to a Game 7 one year.
Right, right.
But, I mean, maybe he would be an upgrade, and maybe he would help the team, but I just don't see him as, like, a part of your big three.
Well, yeah, well, he wouldn't be because he'd be gone after 1 year.
Well, I know, but, like, for that 1 year.
Right, right.
You know, I mean...
No, I can see that.
There's better options, I think. I mean, not to take anything away from Paul George. He's a good player, but I think they can do better.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we'll see what happens. It'll be interesting to see what happens on the Hayward front. I mean, I'm really interested in seeing whether Hayward's going to sign here or not. A lot of chatter that he's going to. Mm-hmm. But, you know, just because there's chatter that someone's going to sign here doesn't mean anything, really.
No, there's chatter every year with every player.
Right, and so then it's like guys are following guys on Instagram and people are screenshotting it. Mm-hmm. It's just like, it's a freaking mess. It's just a mess. And so, nobody...
The googly eye emoji.
Right. Nobody really knows what's happening. But, you know, it does seem like it would be a fit here for Hayward. You know, he'd be playing for his college coach. They have a really good relationship together. He's a white guy. So, you know, if you want to go with your whole Boston's racist angle, you can't use that with him
because he's
white. You know what I mean? So, like, apparently everyone in Boston's going to love him because he's white. So, you know, but it's one of those things where it just seems like they've been talking about it for months that he's going to be coming here. And maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. I don't know. But if I'm looking at it, and I'm him and I'm looking at it, if the Celtics can pull off the trade for Porzingis, now maybe they can, maybe they can't, but if the Celtics pull off the trade for Porzingis, where the hell is he going to go that's better than Boston? Nowhere. Right? Like, we have the best. If Hayward signs with us and we can trot out a starting lineup of IT, Avery Bradley, Gordon Hayward, Al Horford, and Kristaps Porzingis.
And then with Jaylen Brown on your bench.
Yeah.
Who else is on the bench? Marcus Smart, I think is a free agent this year? Or?
No, next year.
Next year, okay.
So him, Bradley, and Thomas are all done next year.
Oh, okay.
So that's why I'm saying you can't keep all those guys. So you're going to have to get rid of a few of them.
Mm-hmm.
Smart's not going to command tons of money, but he's going to command a decent amount.
If Evan Turner got $72 million.
Fucking Turner, dude. What a mess that was.
He's kind of like the bar setter.
Right. I mean, I guess you could say that Marcus Smart's better than Evan Turner. I think that's pretty definitive,
he
right?
He could command $90 million. So,
that's just God. Foolish. But I'm not paying him that much money. But, I mean, decent player, I suppose. But we'll see what happens. But, you know, if you can truck that starting lineup out, you're in the finals. You're in the finals next year. And you're probably not going to beat the Warriors. But I think you give them a better series than Cleveland gave them this year.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, because you're talking about taking the team you have right now, then you're adding another year of experience and, you know, an NBA body onto Jaylen Brown. You're upgrading your small forward position from Jay Crowder to Gordon Hayward, which is ridiculous. And you're upgrading your center position from Amir Johnson to Porzingis. So, like, I mean, your team is, like, infinitely better. And so, you know, you start looking at it and saying, holy shit, like, they could really do something. And then it starts to get into that thing where, you know, Korver, with the Korvers of the world and the Eddie Houses of the world. Yeah. And they're like, holy shit, this team, we want to get on this team because we can contribute here and there, but this team has a legitimate chance.
Yep.
And so now you start looking at it and saying, all right, like, now we can do something. So if they can get that number three, and look, if I'm the Celtics, I'm not giving up two of those picks for Porzingis.
No, I mean, if New York is, they seem kind of desperate to get rid of him.
Yeah.
You know, they're asking for a top four pick, but we got one. So if that's all you need, you know, but there's guys that, I would say Jaylen Brown's untouchable.
I wouldn't want to trade. Maz was saying today or yesterday that he would trade Jaylen Brown to get Porzingis.
No.
And I understand what he's saying, where Porzingis is better than Jaylen Brown, but it defeats the purpose. Like, the whole point is that you're building around these young studs,
right?
And Brown is going to be one of those guys, you hope, you assume, it looks like it. And so if he's going to be that guy, well, what the hell are you doing trading him for Porzingis? Now you're basically just, you haven't done anything yet. And so it just, you know, it doesn't make any sense to do that. So to me, he's untouchable for that trade, or really any trade. I mean, unless you're sending me Kevin Durant and you can guarantee that Kevin Durant's not moving for the next 6 years, like, okay, maybe we can talk about that. Or LeBron, like, okay, now maybe we can. But, like, beyond that, I'm not, or Kawhi Leonard, right? Beyond those guys, I'm not giving up Jaylen Brown for anybody because our team's not there yet. Those guys don't put us over the top to win a championship. They just make us better. And then it's like, well, what's the point of getting better if you're giving away the best player in your team as far as potential is concerned? And so I'm not trading that. But I'll do, you know, I was saying Porzingis for number three, Crowder.
Yeah.
All the first-round picks you can take. Take them all. Take them all. Take all four of them. Take the Clippers and the Celtics and take them all. Take all the first round picks that aren't lottery protected. Fucking throw a lottery protection on them.
They'll
give us picks too. Stupid as they are, they probably would, right? I mean, look, and I'll take a contract back. I already said, you know, you want to give me Carmelo, you want to give me Joakim Noah, which hurts because Noah's three more years, 17, 18, 19. It's rough.
That's
but
a rough hit.
It's worth it.
Jesus.
It's worth it, I think. Right, but the thing is that if you were to give up guys like Avery and IT and Crowder, well, now you're giving up salary, and so you might be able to squeak in that other contract for Hayward. And so you're still getting Hayward in that situation.
Yeah.
And because I don't want to make, you know, I wouldn't want to make the deal if I can't do another max contract. I want to try to make that math work where we can do another max contract.
Yeah.
That's almost why I would send AB over IT, because number one, I want to keep IT, but also number two, Bradley's getting paid more than Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah.
And so,
he's
got
a really nice contract, but
Yeah, but he's still getting paid.
Isaiah's only getting paid like $6
million. Right, it's ridiculous how little Thomas is getting paid. So,
he's a little guy.
That's true. Good point, I suppose.
Big guys get big money. Little guys get little money. Yes.
Okay, all right. Yeah. So I don't know. He wants the Brinks truck next time, so he may disprove that theory. But you know, so we'll see. I mean, but that's what I would do, right? Take the number three pick if you want it. Take Avery Bradley. Take Jay Crowder. Take anybody. Take anybody on the team outside of Jaylen Brown. Anybody. I don't care who it is. Take fucking Al Horford. I mean, you know, it's not gonna happen. But
right.
Take Al Horford. I don't care. Like whatever. Because then we're building around Porzingis. And Jaylen Brown, and then Gordon Hayward comes in, and we're building around those three guys. And now look out. And so that would be my Porzingis deal if it happens. And again, if it happens, if Hayward signs here after that, now everyone's looking at us saying, holy shit, that's a legit contender for a championship. Not just a legit contender to make it to these conference finals and lose to the Cavs. That's a legit contender to beat the Cavs and then go give the Warriors a series. And so... So we'll see. So that's my Porzingis take. I just think, shit, if we could get that guy, man.
Yeah, and like I said earlier, I'm convinced they can beat Cleveland next year because it's LeBron's contract year.
Yep.
And once he sees the writing on the wall, he's already thinking about L.A.
Oh, definitely. Without a doubt.
Which is, you know, kind of funny that if he goes to the Lakers, because it's like almost every great player kind of goes over to the Lakers. You know, a lot of them, not every, but there's a lot, you know, like Shaq, Kareem, Wilt.
Yeah, it's crazy. Well, I wonder if there's been some talk that maybe he would go to the Clippers instead of the Lakers.
See, I don't think so, because I think the Clippers are on the verge of rebuild.
Probably, right?
They're going to lose Chris Paul this year, because he's a free agent.
Yep, yeah, they are. That's
Blake's,
true.
Blake's going to opt out.
Yep.
Ooh, Blake.
Blake Griffin.
Him or Porzingis, who do you got?
Oh, my Lord. Are you kidding me? I mean, I don't have to give up anything to get Blake. I just got to sign him to a contract. But even still, are you shitting me? Like, Porzingis in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Even though I got to give up more to get Porzingis. Porzingis is a monster. He does things that no other 7-footer can do in the game. And Blake Griffin's frail, dude. He's like, he's 95 years old. He's just he's an injury waiting to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got incredible athleticism. Me too. Yeah. I mean, you know, he's got incredible athleticism. But the thing is like, he gets hurt all the time. And so you can't really trust that he's going to be there.
Did he break his hand on, like, a trainer's face or something?
Yeah. Fucking trainer's face. Jesus. Just got in the way, dude. He was just swinging. It just got in the way, you know? Just total accident. But I mean, you know, it just... So those things for me... I just look at it and say, all right, I'm out. I'm good. You know, Blake Griffin, thanks a lot, but no thanks. You know, now if he's willing to sign something, he's not going to be willing to sign anything less. He's opting out of $21 million for the Clippers. Yeah. So he's not going to opt out for anything less than that. He'll probably get more than that. It'd be interesting to see, though, if he doesn't get more than that. If he, you know, his agent calls around and does the tampering thing or whatever, which they're not supposed to do, but they do. Everyone does it.
Oh, yeah.
If he calls around and everyone says, yeah, we're not going to pay him. I'm not giving him more than $21 million. I wonder if he stays. I mean, does he stay and take the money?
I think OKC breaks the bank for him.
Maybe.
They max him.
Maybe. And you're right about that, right? Maybe he goes there and now all of a sudden now they have Westbrook and Griffin together.
Yeah.
But again, see, I just...
They have room for a max guy.
I feel bad for Westbrook, though, because... That is not going to... I just already see it not ending well.
Yeah.
Because I'm telling you, Blake Griffin, he gets hurt halfway through the year, and it's like, then Westbrook's alone again.
Yeah,
and he's fuck.
That's true.
You know? And so, if I were the Thunder, I wouldn't do that to Westbrook, but you might be right, because it's just like, what else are we going to do? We got to do something. You can't leave him by himself, and if you don't do enough, he's going to leave. He has to leave. There's nothing he can do.
Yeah, he can opt out after next year.
I think it's after next year. Yeah. Yep. So, I mean, dude,
what a free agent class.
That's NBA Twitter.
That's gonna be fun.
Oh, it's going to be awesome. The NBA Twitter is out of control.
Oh, yeah.
out of control. Dude, there's rumors flying. There was a rumor like a few days ago the Celtics were trying to work on a package to get Westbrook.
Yeah, I saw that.
Dude, it was just like, what? Like, no. No one's trading Westbrook. And then, so that's why when the Porzingis thing came out, it was like,
I thought it was fake.
It's gotta be a joke.
Yeah, I thought it was fake.
You know? And then it, like, they keep going and you're like, they really thinking about trading this guy? You shitting me? Like, it's just, so, total insanity there. And so, we'll see what happens, but yeah, Twitter, NBA Twitter is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Especially this time of year, man.
Woj and Chad Ford's good.
Chad Ford is solid. Yeah. Yep. Stu Greeny. That's my dude. Stu Greeny is my boy, dude. So, you know. And Nick Cattles does a pretty good job, too. He's not all NBA, but, you know, he does a pretty good job on that as well. So, you know, those guys are always fun follows. And
not Jim Murray, though.
No, fuck that
he's
guy.
He's a dick.
Anyone that's affiliated with Felger Mez pretty much is an asshole. That's what we're getting at.
Except for Jimmy Stewart. I've met him a few times.
Jay
cool
Stewart.
Guy.
Well, yeah, because he follows wrestling.
Yes. Yeah.
So,
that's although
Jim,
I've met him.
Jim Murray follows wrestling,
yeah,
too.
Yeah,
he
probably
he?
Likes
yeah.
shitty wrestling.
So, all right. So, anyway, so that's that. So, what I did want to do is kind of talk about where the Celtics were going to go if they stayed at three. And really, to me, the list is four people long. Okay, and you could tell me if you want to add anyone or take anyone off or whatever, but the list to me is Tatum from Duke, Jackson from Kansas, Isaac from Florida State, and Fox from Kentucky.
Okay.
That's the list that I came up with. Those just seem like the most four, the four that make the most sense. And so I just kind of compiled some stats for, you know, for them. Jackson's the guy that everyone's talking about. Everyone says Jackson's the guy. You have to take Jackson. Athleticism out of the gym. He's crazy. He's got, you know, he's 6'8". He's wicked athletic. Blah, blah, blah. All that stuff, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm concerned about him. I'm concerned about Jackson. He's not a great shooter. His free throw percentage is 55%, which is not
that's
great.
That's not good.
Okay, it's not a good sign.
Like, if you're Shaq and you can make up for it somewhere else.
Right, you know, but you just look at it and say, okay, this guy, he's not a great shooter, and then he shoots 55% from the line. So you start looking at it and saying, oh boy, like, you know, is his shot going to get better? Does his shot look like a legit shot that you can kind of tweak a little bit and make him a good shooter? Because for the Celtics, you know, you're looking for guys that can drive, obviously, but you're looking for guys that can shoot outside. And if you can't shoot, then you don't belong on the Celtics.
Right.
It's really that simple.
And I remember last year, a lot of people were saying that Jaylen Brown wasn't a shooter.
Right.
And I think he turned into a pretty decent shooter this season. His ceiling's so high.
Absolutely. So. Well, and I think that that's what a lot of people looked at. I think I looked up his numbers. He was around 60-something percent shooting free throws.
Mm-hmm.
But his threes were like 29% his freshman year in college.
Yeah.
Terrible. Whereas Jackson actually shoots 37% from three. So, he, you know, decent shot from three. Some of the pull-up shots, though, not great. And so it's just a question of whether his form is correct, whether his form is really good. But, you know, who knows? Athleticism-wise, he is arguably the most athletic person available in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
But the question is, do you sell out for the athleticism? And I don't know if you do. I just don't know if that's what you really care about and really want. He also struggles a little bit on the defensive end as well. He's not as aggressive as a defender as you'd like all the time.
Yeah.
He plays decent defense, but he's not as aggressive as a defender you'd like all the time. So that's just really quick on Jackson. Tatum, 45% from two, which is not great.
Ugh.
Okay. So that, to me, tells me a lot of jump shots, a lot of jump shots.
Yeah.
And then also, maybe he's not great finishing around the rim. Like, I don't know, but, you know, it just
sounds like
you,
it.
You hit 45% and you're like, geez, like maybe he's not
a lot of those
him.
Are high percentage shots. I'm
you would
sure,
think,
especially
right?
His position,
yeah. And so, you know, and again, another small forward, 6'8". He's not quite as athletic as Jackson. Still athletic, better passer than
decent
Jackson.
Rebounder.
Pretty good rebounder. Right? What was he like?
Seven rebounds a game.
So I mean, you know, decent player. Shoots 85% from the free throw stripe. So you look at that and say, okay, well, if he can shoot from the free throw line, it means that his form at least is workable. You can work with it, so maybe you can improve him, right? We were talking about Jaylen Brown, terrible from three last year. came to the league, they tweaked his shot a little bit, and all of a sudden he's a decent shooter. Yep. So maybe you can look at this guy and say, okay, yeah, he shoots 85% from the free throw line. He was terrible from two, but the shot mechanics is kind of there. Maybe he speeds himself up a little bit too much. Maybe he rushes himself. Who knows?
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's really the question there. Is his shot workable? You know, we'll see. 34% from the free throw from three as well. So, you know, again, decent shooter from three.
It's decent.
You know, 34 isn't exceptional, but it's you can get by on it.
Right.
And then hopefully you look to improve it a little bit when he gets to the pros. So that's Tatum. Anything you want to add before I continue?
No, keep going.
Okay.
Keep
going. So Isaac is the next guy for me. This is, for me personally, this is my guy.
Yeah, it seems like he's the best fit, just position-wise, like on the depth chart.
Right. And the more I think about it, the problem is this. The more I think about it, I look at it and say the Celtics might have two lottery picks next year, and next year's draft, supposedly, is littered with big guys that are disgustingly athletic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so maybe you say, well, they don't take that guy this year because that guy will be available next year. But, like, that's just a shot in the dark. Those kids are coming out of high school. You have no idea what they're going to look like playing in the NCAA for 1 year and then what it's going to translate to the pro game next year. So it's a little bit of a risk if you say, I'm not getting this guy because I'm going to get that guy next year. It just seems strange to me that you would do that, but nevertheless. So Isaac is one of those guys, had a growth spurt. So he was a small forward, and now he's a power forward because he's like 6'11". He's got like a 7'1.5" wingspan. He's a freaking monster. Okay, 34% from three, so pretty good from three, and 78% from the free throw line. So, you know, again, a decent shooter. Not a phenomenal shooter, but a decent shooter. To me, though, it's that athleticism that is really elite. His feet are so quick. I mean, they would switch the pick and roll, and he would cover the point at the top of the key. Like, what power forward can cover the point at the top of the key, right? So,
yeah, that's awesome.
And he's got some pretty good low post moves, too. So, you know, I was listening to someone say, you know, he's a cross between KG and Kevin Durant. Now, clearly, right now, they're not projecting him to be as good as either of those guys. But he's basically bringing to the table what both those guys bring. I think I was reading that he was in the top like 150 for blocks per game, or for blocks period, and he was in the top 300 for steals as well. And so he really didn't play a lot of minutes because at Florida State they rotate guys in and out all the time.
Yeah.
And so I think in that aspect you can almost look at it and say, well, basketball is a rhythm game. Right, if they're rotating guys in and out, it's hard to get on a rhythm and stay on a rhythm. So maybe if you give him this guy consistent playing time, he could be an even better player and shooter than he was. Right, so you know, defensively, really though, great timing, good shot blocker, good steal. You know, gets a lot of steals and stuff. So to me, at least, this is my guy. That's the guy that I think the Celtics should take at three. Again, like I was saying, I think if they trade back to five with Sacramento, that's the guy they're targeting at five, and they think maybe we can hold out and still get him at five.
Yeah, I think he's the right fit. I mean, rebounding was their biggest weakness last season.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you kind of develop him when he's young, because he's, like all these guys, they're like skinny kids. But if you're 6'11" and you're skinny like that, KG was skinny when he came.
Oh yeah,
he was skinny,
wicked skinny.
Yeah, and you know, he filled out. So I think, you know, like look at Brandon Ingram, he's gonna fill out.
Yeah, yeah, he will. And so that's the thing, is that you look at it and just say, okay, you take that guy because of the athleticism, and then you work on the body.
Mm-hmm.
You can do that. You know, you can't necessarily teach the athleticism, but you can get him in the weight room and get some muscle on him and go from there. So, but anyways, that's my guy. That's the guy who wants Celtics to draft at three or at five, whatever they end up drafting. If it was me, if I'm the GM, that's what I'm taking. So, we'll see in the last guy.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, all these guys are either small forwards or point guards, and none of them fit.
You know,
It's a nice thing to have that many options, but you know, it just makes sense for them. I mean, I just think trade the pick, but We can go on. Well, that's not where.
Yeah. So we'll go past that because that's coming up next. So the last guy
totally shut down the segment.
The last guy is Fox, De'Aaron Fox, point guard from Kentucky. Probably the fastest player in the draft. Ridiculous athleticism. Yeah,
I was reading that.
You know, he's 6'3", and a lot of people are saying he could be the next John Wall, which is great. Okay, and look, if he's the next John Wall, I want him. Problem is, he was 24% from the 3-point line, 74% from the free throw line. He's just not a great shooter. Very inconsistent. You know, some of the things that were said about him was that he's inconsistent. Sometimes he turns the ball over. Sometimes not paying attention. He's not as good of a leader as you want to see. So like, there's a lot of question marks about Fox. And this is the way I look at it. Right, you talk about speed and athleticism. He could be John Wall, or he could be Rajon Rondo.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now if this were five years ago, people in Boston would be saying that's great because Rondo's the best point guard in the league, better than Westbrook, better than all those people.
Yeah,
fucking insane that people.
I
say
thought that for about 3 days in 2010. I was like, he's the best point guard in the league,
and then you were like, right, that was stupid of me.
And then the game was on Comcast, and he sucked.
And so, I mean, so that's the thing is that he could be the next John Wall. And that would be awesome. Or it could be the next Rajon Rondo, mm-hmm. basically just a facilitator. And Rondo plays lockdown defense, which is fine. But at number three, that's not what I'm looking for.
Right, yeah.
That's not what I'm looking for at number three. We already have that. We already did that with Marcus Smart. He's a lockdown defender who can't shoot. That's great. That's awesome. But, like, you need that guy as, like, a guy on your bench. But you're not – at number three, you're drafting a guy who is legitimately
right.
going to be the best player on the team,
and when,
ideally at least.
And when you already have guys that can do that, like he sounds a lot like Terry Rozier.
Right.
And we already have a guy that can do that, and not just him. Who's the other they have guys coming up too. The kid from Notre Dame, Jackson, they still have him?
Oh, yes. Yeah, they signed him to Jackson. I think they still have him on like the Red Claws or whatever, wherever he is. So, yeah, I mean, look, Fox, really the biggest thing about Fox is that his team went pretty far in the tournament. They lost in the Elite Eight. He played Lonzo in the Sweet 16, Lonzo and UCLA, and that was the big matchup, the two-point guards going head-to-head. Scored fucking 39 on 13 of 20 shooting, right? So he was unbelievable that game, game of his life. And so if anything's going to get him to the top five, it's going to be that game.
Yeah.
Because you just throw in that tape, and he just dominated Lonzo Ball, who's going to be the number two pick in the draft tomorrow night. You know, the Lakers haven't made that official, but they traded Dickface over there. What's his name?
D'Angelo Russell.
That's him.
The snitch?
The snitch, yeah. So they traded him to make way for Lonzo, we assume, right? Unless they're going to take Fox, which would be ridiculous. So anyways, but that's what you're looking at. So to me, those are the four guys. You can make your own decisions if you want. I'm not talking to you, Mike. I'm talking to you out there who is listening. Make your own decisions. You know, whether you want them to go Jackson or Tatum or Isaac or Fox. But those are the four guys at three that I think are worth considering. Anyone out of there I don't think is worth considering. You know, and there are pros and cons to both of them, as there would be with any 19-year-old. But I really think that those are the four guys that we should be focused on for tomorrow night. Unless they trade out or trade back, those are the four guys we should be focused on.
The thing with Tatum is he played at Duke.
Yes.
Now, how many great players have come from Duke? Not many.
Not a ton. Kyrie Irving, obviously.
Kyrie Irving, yeah, but
right.
Other than him, I can't think of...
I mean, there's a few guys, you know, you want to look at it. I mean, Seth Curry's pretty good in the league right now. I mean, there's a few guys out there that are pretty good, but there's no one, you know, and Jabari Parker, the jury's still out on him, right? So we don't know yet what he's going to be, but there's no one in the NBA outside of Kyrie Irving that's lighting the world on fire coming from Duke.
Right.
Right. Whereas you can look at Kentucky and
Kentucky's so much better at developing pro talent. You know, all their guys that come out of there, like Davis, Cousins, John Wall.
Right. Right. They're all, it seems like they're all hits.
Yeah.
It almost seems like every guy that gets drafted out there is a hit.
Kansas, so-so.
Yeah. I mean, you know, for every Paul Pierce, you get someone not so good. No one's coming to mind right now, but there's a lot of guys who I just feel like you come.
Nick Collison.
Oh, God. Nick Collison. comparison. Who was the kid? Chalmers, Mario Chalmers, hit that crazy. Although I think he was a late pick, but either way, you know, he was okay, but he was never really good. Yeah. You know, so there are definitely some question marks there. The other thing too is if you go small forward, and then you sign Hayward, now you have, say you do Jackson or Tatum, doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. So you have Jackson or Tatum, you have Brown, you have Hayward, you have AB, you have Smart. Who are you going to play?
You went from having too many guards to having too many small forwards.
Right. And that's really the issue, right, is that now what do you do? Right. So to me, it just makes sense. If you draft a power forward, you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah.
You know? If you had drafted a point guard, you'd say, well, you have to worry about that because of IT. But if you weren't sold on keeping IT, well, now maybe you can look at it and say, you know, we'll see what happens. I mean, obviously, clearly, they didn't want Fultz, right? Now, we didn't really talk about this. We kind of glosses over. But clearly, they didn't want Fultz. They thought Fultz wasn't the number one guy. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason. I mean, you know, it could be because of his losses in college. You know, they were saying the losses didn't really affect him. He didn't really care about winning or losing. I don't know what it was, but whatever it was, I really think for them, they had something in their mind where they were like, all right, we're really nervous about this, about these few things. Let's get him in the building. Let's see what he looks like. Let's talk to him. Let's watch him on the court in front of us, and then let's make a decision.
Yeah.
And then he comes in, and from all accounts, the workout didn't look great. Mm-hmm. Okay. And some people were saying he came in a little out of shape.
Really?
Yeah. And so I don't know whether it was the demeanor, whether it was maybe they didn't like the interview they gave. I don't know. But clearly something rubbed them the wrong way. And it wasn't like he was the guy and then he came in and they were like, oh, forget it. We're not drafting him. Like, I really think that they had real serious reservations before he came in. And then they were like, all right, if he comes in, maybe we can disprove those reservations by him coming in. And he came in, and instead of disproving them, he, like, proved them all right. And they were like, all right, we're out of here. Like, no way we're doing this.
Because I heard Brad Stevens called his high school guidance counselor.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, they were serious. Up. Right. They were serious about trying to figure out if he was the guy or not. Mm-hmm. And clearly, they made the decision that he wasn't.
Yeah.
So, you know, whether they'll be right or not, I don't know if Danny's job depends on it or not. But it's going to look really bad on him if Fultz is a legit superstar.
Yeah, it will. I mean, depending on what they get for, you know, either if they trade the third pick or whoever, you know, they end up drafting. But, yeah, I don't think his job depends on it. I agree with you there. But, yeah, it wouldn't look good. But they're on a roll, so.
Yeah, I mean, they're doing pretty well.
Everything's coming up Celtics right now.
Well, you're right about that. It is coming up Celtics right now. But I don't know. I mean, someone was on the radio today talking about how Danny's drafting. He's drafted like 38 guys, and none of them have ever been. Well, no, that's not true. One of them, Rondo, has been an all-star, and that's it. Beyond Rondo, no one's ever been an all-star.
Yeah, he's missed on a lot.
But I also think, when's the last time he had a lottery pick? Right? He had Marcus Smart, but who else is a lottery pick besides Marcus Smart?
Well, the Jeff Green that turned into Ray Allen,
right? So that was a trade. Getting
Jeff Green anyway.
Well, that fucked them. That lost them a championship, right? Yeah. But I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if you can trust him, but at the same time, he's the GM. Like, what are you gonna do? Not trust him?
And
like,
you got no choice. Isn't anyone after say the top five, top ten, pretty much a sleeper pick?
That's true. No, you're right about that. I mean,
you're. You're wrong more often than you are right, I think, with those.
Absolutely. Yep, absolutely.
Because Olynyk was, what, the 13th pick?
Yes.
And he's kind of a sleeper pick. I mean, they should have had Giannis, but...
Well, shit, dude. We were talking about it earlier. He's probably the second best player in that first round taken.
Yeah.
Which is just stupid to think that the two best players were 13 and 15. But they probably... I mean, you could make an argument that Olynyk's probably the second best player in that draft. And so... yeah, just wildness from there. But, you know, one thing I want people to understand about trading down from 1 to 3, right? Now, I'm a football guy, love football. Belichick does it all the time, trades down, because he's looking at value. Okay, well, the value of this second round pick is just as good as, you know, this second round pick and third round pick and fifth round pick next year is better than the value I'll get for this first round pick. Mm-hmm. And that's great in the NFL. The NBA is not the NFL. Okay? No. You're not trading the number one pick for the number three pick and a possible lottery pick next year unless you're not sold on the guy at number one. Because in this league, as we see with LeBron and with Kevin Durant this year, well, Golden State is a little different story, but either way, as you see with guys, if you have that one transcendent superstar, you can go far just with that one guy.
Yeah.
So if you think you have that guy, I don't care what they offer you. If we went to the Cavs today and offered them three, the Lakers pick next year, the Brooklyn pick next year, and any other, if I'm the Cavs, I'm turning that down.
Yeah.
That's not enough for LeBron. I'm sorry, but LeBron's the best player in the game, and it's a very strong possibility that in all those picks, I'm never going to get a guy as good as LeBron. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not trading him no matter what. And so you can say the same thing about maybe Brady. You know, Brady has that kind of level in the NFL, but in the NBA, if you have that one transcendent superstar, that's what you need to win. Yeah. You can't win without it.
Yeah, so, you don't get a group of role players together and win a championship.
Exactly.
You know, people always say the 04 Pistons, but they were a really good team.
They were, and they may not have any Hall, you know, when all said and done, they may not have any Hall of Famers on that team, but they had enough as far as Billups was a really good point guard that could distribute and score whenever.
Yep.
Rip Hamilton could go off for 40 a night every single night.
Yeah.
Ben Wallace was the best defender in the game.
That's a player of the year.
For like 4 years in a row, he was the best defender of the game. So
Rasheed Wallace.
And Rasheed was good. And so they had a really good team that year. Yes, you may not have any, you know, superstar Hall of Fame guys. Mm-hmm. But you had a shitload of really, really good players.
And they weren't a one-year thing either because they went back to the finals, I think, the next year.
Yeah, and lost, right?
Mm-hmm. And they were, you know, in the conference finals up until 08.
Right. And so, you know, they were a team that was very, very good. And for a while, it was almost like those guys maybe were playing over their head a little bit.
Yeah.
Right combination. And so maybe you say, whoa, yeah, fine. Which is true. But you're talking about one team.
Right.
Even if you want to give them the, say you give them the Pistons, fine. But that's one team. One team has been able to do it ever.
But what are the Warriors? Why don't you consider them before Durant?
Well, no, because you don't think Steph Curry is a superstar?
Well, he is, but, I mean, he wasn't, you know, he just kind of came out of nowhere in a way. I mean, he was kind of lurking there. He had bad ankles. He missed some time. And then, you know, he had his breakthrough year 2 years ago when they won the championship for the first time. Well, was it 3 years ago now or whatever? But
yeah, but it was, well, but, I mean, look at it this way, right?
But Andre Iguodala was the MVP of that series.
Well, and that's true. That is true. But Steph Curry won back-to-back MVP awards.
No, that's true.
Right, and so you're not talking about a collection of role players. You're talking about legit superstars who weren't superstars when you drafted. And you're right about that. They weren't superstars when they drafted him. You know, Thompson was a, they were both lottery picks, but they were late lottery picks. I think Thompson was 11 and Curry was like 7, I think. And so they weren't like top five picks. And Draymond Green was a second round pick. And so you start looking at it and saying, okay, well, you know, maybe they're just a collection of good players, but then you get them on the floor and you're like, holy crap, like Steph Curry, if he continues to do what he's doing, he's going to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Right? And so, you know, that's the one thing you can take a look at and say, okay, it's kind of the same, but it's not really the same because they evolved into superstar players, even though they weren't at the beginning. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No.
That's what I would say.
I know what you mean, but it's not like they... I'm saying because they didn't have a guy like LeBron or Kobe or...
Oh, you're right.
Know, any of those transcendent players, you know? I don't think Steph Curry, before that championship year, was a transcendent player. I don't think anyone thought he was until after they won the title or...
Probably not, although he did win the MVP that year. But
I know, but like that season, that's what I mean.
Right. But I mean, even still, you look at it and say, typically you don't think of those transcendent players as your point guard.
Right.
Right? You just don't. I mean, Nash won two back-to-back MVPs as well, and you wouldn't think of him as a transcendent player.
No.
And so, you know, it's, yeah, he won two MVPs, and he's a great shooter and everything else, but I agree with you. He's not LeBron. He's not Durant. He's not. I mean, you put him and Durant on the same team, and you can see the difference between the two of them.
Yeah.
Durant is bounds ahead of him as far as talent is concerned. And so, you know, yeah, I mean, I'm with you on that one, so... Anyway, so let's keep going because we're running out of time here. So that's really my four. And look, if they trade down, maybe they trade down again. Maybe they get Porzingis. Maybe they don't. To me, Butler and George, I'm out. Like, I'm out. I don't want, you know, unless you're doing a non-lottery pick for both of them, I'm okay with that. All right? Celtics supposedly already turned down number three for Butler straight up. Thank God they did, because that would really piss me off. He's only signed for 2 years. I don't think he's going to stay. And again, to me, it doesn't put you over the top. He doesn't do it. He's 27 years old already. I'm not trading a guy who's 20, you know, 19 or 20 for a guy that's 27. I'm not doing that when my window may come in 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I mean, that's the only thing. That's the only thing I look at. Now, if you can get Butler and that guy, fine. Yeah. I'll do that. But I just don't think the Bulls are going to accept that.
No, I mean, it's funny because the holdup wasn't the picks during the trade deadline. It was over Bradley or Crowder, who the Celtics didn't want to give up. So,
I mean, imagine if the freaking Bulls had taken that deal and the Celtics lose their number one pick because they traded it to Chicago.
Well, and that could turn into Porzingis.
Right. I mean, holy shit, dude. What a fucking move that would have been. So, but, hey, you know, it didn't happen, thank goodness. Mm-hmm. So, it's just, I mean, there's a million trades like that that people look back and they're like, holy Christ, thank God that didn't happen.
Yeah.
So.
Should be another episode. That should be a special episode. Oh, like trades.
Like a trades that didn't happen.
Special, yeah.
Trades that didn't happen or shouldn't have happened or ruined franchises or whatever.
Oh.
So, there's a lot of them. There's a lot of them, folks. So I would say that's that. George, for me, I'm out. As I said, pennies on the dollar. Maybe I'll trade Avery Bradley for him. Maybe. Because he's an upgrade over Avery Bradley, mm-hmm. and theoretically you're only going to have both of them for 1 year, so you take the 1 year of Paul George over the 1 year of Avery Bradley, right? Because he's an elite scorer, and in order to compete with the Cavs and the Warriors, you have to score.
Yes.
Right? He's a more complete scorer. He can cover LeBron. He can play that position. He's a big guy. So maybe you do something like that.
Yeah,
so,
but if he's a rental, then...
Well, if he's a rental, I'm not giving anything up for him.
And I don't, like think they would.
No, and I think that they're totally focused on the future right now.
Yeah, it's not a win now type of attitude that they have.
And the only difference here would be if you can get Porzingis and you can sign Hayward. Mm-hmm. Well, now you're looking at it saying, well, maybe we can win now if we have this roster. And so you're building for the future, but you're also trying to win now as well. I don't think they're going to, put it this way, I don't think they're going to mortgage the future to try to win now. Right? You're trading number three overall for Porzingis because mm-hmm. he's 21 years old.
Yeah.
Right? Like, so even though, but you're giving up an unknown at number three for a known commodity in Porzingis. And Porzingis, again, right now, he's probably a top 10 player in the NBA. He's close.
Yeah, so, he's there. Between 10 and 15.
Right. And so he's not like the best player in the NBA or anything like that, but he's going to help your team immensely. He's instantly the best player mm-hmm. in your team. And so, you know, he's unguardable when he's playing well. And in this system, he'd be unstoppable.
Oh.
He'd be unstoppable in the system. Yeah. So I'm praying that that happens tomorrow.
Hopefully
next
week we're talking about.
Oh, that would be so awesome.
The Porzingis era in Boston.
Amazing. That was so amazing. So anyways, really quickly, and we'll get to this later, but really quickly, question to you. Do you think Avery Bradley or Isaiah Thomas are worth what they're going to get, which is probably a max deal, or if not a max deal, really close to a max deal?
Yes.
Both of them? Or, well, you can't sign both of them, right?
If you can sign Bradley to a... Bradley's not a max guy. He's an Evan Turner money type of guy.
He's way better than Evan Turner.
Right. But he's in that range of like $70 million a year. I don't even know if he'll get that because he has an injury history, but...
$70 million for how many? Like four years?
3-4 years, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I think if you can do that... right now, realistically, I think they max Isaiah.
I mean, it's what seems where it's headed, right? Yeah. I mean, it's definitely seems headed that way.
He's their new Paul Pierce. He's their guy who's, when they win the title...
they're going to have him in center court. He's the captain. Yeah. And look, after this playoffs, with his sister dying right before the start of the Bulls series, him losing his teeth and having dental surgery for like 8 hours. Like, yeah, he was a warrior, and he fought and fought and fought and fought. And so I can understand that because that's what they want, and they want their young guys to see that because that's how they want to play.
Yeah.
And so, you know, maybe you overpay for a guy like that to keep him around because of what he brings to the locker room and because of what he brings to the team.
Yeah.
So I can see that. You know, Avery Bradley, to me, I'm not paying him too much. I think Bradley is a sixth man on a very good team. I don't think, you know, if you're winning a championship, he's not starting for you. Put it that way. I don't think.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I can see him as like their Iguodala.
Right.
You know, like the defensive specialist or Tony Allen.
But he's a better scorer.
You know what I mean? Like a guy that you can put on the other team's best player.
I think the Iguodala is probably the best
comparison. Yeah.
Yep, that's the word I was looking for. Probably the best comparison that is out there.
Yeah.
I think it's a good call because he's that defensive specialist who can also score.
Yeah, he averaged 17 points a game. That was a career high.
Right. And his shot is getting better every year. And so now you start looking at him and saying, okay, well, if he can start hitting shots and he plays defense on their best defense. I mean, look, he played Jimmy Butler one-on-one in the Bulls series and shut him down.
Yep.
And that's Jimmy Butler. He's given away a lot of size, not just height, but weight as well as Jimmy Butler.
Oh, yeah.
And he shut him down. And so Bradley plays phenomenal defense. So so we'll see. If you can keep both of those guys, that'd be awesome. I just don't know how it's going to work. But it's interesting to me, if you're able to get the guys now that you want.
Yeah, you build that core.
The bird rule.
Yeah.
To keep everybody. Now, luxury tax-wise, I'm not sure. Because the luxury tax is really the cap. You want to talk about the cap.
Right.
The cap is crap because you can go over it. But
yeah.
The luxury tax is really where the owners really don't want to pay that luxury tax.
Right.
And so that's the place where they'll cut. So that's the question. I'm not sure where it is. I'm not sure if they can get everyone underneath it. But if you can get Porzingis and you can get Hayward this offseason, and then you sign Bradley and IT next season using the bird rule, I mean, like...
And then you're all set. I think you're all set for the next six to ten years. Like that.
I mean, you're competing. You're competing and not just for a spot in these conference finals. You're competing for a championship.
Yeah.
So that's where we want to see them. It may not happen that soon, but that's where we want to see
patience.
Them. So anyways, listen, coming from me, here's my Isaac is the pick at three. That's me, Isaac at three. I don't know about you. I don't know if you think the same or you think something different.
I think if they do make the pick, I like him just because they need a guy his size and they need a guy in his position.
Right.
So he's really the only one to make sense.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that had anything to do with them trading Fultz. I mean, well, the number one pick.
Probably.
You know, we already have a guy at that position.
Right.
You know, this guy, he can't play another position. He's not a two.
Well, that's true. I mean, I think it factored in, but I think just knowing Danny Ainge, I don't know him personally, but knowing his style, he's taking the best player available.
Yeah.
I don't care if I got seven guys at that position. Look at the guard situation, right? He just keeps taking guards because that's the best player available. If Fultz truly was the best player available, or he thought that Fultz truly was the best player available, I think he takes Fultz.
Mm-hmm.
But clearly, he didn't think that way.
No.
And so... so we'll see. But anyways, so that's that. So tomorrow night is the draft. Catch that on ESPN. So just a really quick, this week in sports history, we're just doing kind of some draft history, some moments in draft history. So I have a few. I'm just going to kind of bust through them really quick. 1980, okay, Celtics have the number one pick. They trade that pick to Golden State for the number three overall pick and a big guy that they weren't happy about. Which was by the name of Robert Parrish. He turned out to be pretty good. And McHale was the number three pick. So they traded the number one pick for McHale and Robert Parrish, which was fucking unbelievable. Started the big three. They won the championship that season.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Max was the MVP
of that
series, and then he was gone a few years later, and McHale was one of the best power forwards in the game. So obviously a Hall of Famer and everything like that.
It's him and Duncan with number one as far as power forwards.
Right. And you could make the argument about Duncan. Duncan had a longer career, obviously.
Yeah.
Right, because in 87, McHale played through the broken foot and basically ruined his career after that. So so that's 1980. 1996, fucking Charlotte Hornets traded Kobe to the Lakers for Vlade Divac. Fucking great trade. That year was actually a phenomenal draft. AI was number one.
I think that's one of the, if not the best drafts.
Yeah. So that was a hell of a draft. Yeah. A lot of great players there. Celtics got Antoine at number six. Decent player.
Yeah.
You know, obviously would have liked Kobe in that spot. But it's interesting. I was reading a story about this, and they were saying that Kobe and his agent really wanted to go to L.A., and they kind of pushed to try to do that. And to do that, they basically didn't work out for teams and just tried to, like, push him outside the lottery. And when they did that, the Lakers went to the Hornets and said, hey, look, you need a center because the Hornets needed a center. You need a center. We have Vlade Divac. We'll trade you Vlade straight up for your number 13 pick if you draft Kobe Bryant. Okay. So they traded him. Needless to say, it didn't work out too well for Charlotte, and it worked out pretty damn good for LA, yeah, obviously. So, you know, but yeah, so there's that. So that's 96. And then 1972, Dr. J gets drafted by the Bucks in the NBA, chooses not to go to the Bucks and plays in the ABA instead. If he had stayed in the NBA, he would have played with Kareem and Oscar Robertson. Pretty unbelievable. That year, actually, the Bucks won 60 games that year. Still, Oscar Robertson was towards the end of his career, but Kareem was young and disgusting, and him and Dr. J together with Oscar Robertson. That's a super team. That's a hell of a super team, and they probably win the championship in 72.
Yeah.
Stomp all over the Knicks. The Knicks ended up winning the championship. That was the Willis Reed year where Willis Reed came, you know, fucking dead and came off the bench.
Two championships for the Knicks. That's it.
Yeah.
And with like, all and that. Like in 2 out of 3 years, it was like
71
and 73 or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, it was... yeah. So anyway, so that was... so that's my draft. You have any you want to share? Or
No.
All right, so it's just my three. You know what? I like it. I mean, really some interesting... And there's a lot of intrigue, and we talked about this, and maybe we'll talk about this when we talk about the what-ifs. But, like, what if the Celtics had ended up with Duncan at number one instead of getting 3 and 6, fucking Chauncey Billups and Ron Mercer? If they had ended up with number one, would have totally changed the NBA landscape. Because the Spurs had basically tanked the year before because they had David Robinson, and they won the championship that year. They won the championship. So the Spurs aren't the Spurs without Duncan, obviously.
Right.
Popovich maybe isn't looked at as the greatest coach of all time anymore. Changes everything, right?
Yeah.
And then... even in the 07 draft, when the Celtics again had another shot at number one, ended up at number five and traded that for Allen. That was the year they formed the big three. Ainge has said on record before, and I believe him, by the way, because he was obsessed with Durant, if he had gotten the number one pick or even the number two pick, he would have drafted Durant in that spot and would not have traded it. So now you're looking at saying, well, do you then turn around and trade Paul Pierce? Like you were saying, like, do you trade Paul Pierce? Does the team stay together? What do you ever win a championship with that crew?
Yeah.
And if you don't, does Durant end up leaving and you never win a championship?
And say they pick Oden, how different is his career?
Oh my lord, dude. Well, I mean, Greg Oden, I thought, was destined for injury.
Well, but Portland has a long history of not being able to treat their players right, like
Bill Walton. Yeah. Very true. Very true.
And Brandon Roy. Remember him?
Oh, Lord. You're right.
Yeah.
So you're right. Maybe it did have something to do with Portland as well. But yeah, could have been really interesting. Yeah. So anyways, that was, what was that, 07? So.
Yeah, and real quick, the 03 draft, the one LeBron was picked in.
Oh, my
Lord. What's the deal with Detroit not picking Carmelo, and do you think that they regret that?
Just a little bit. Yeah. Darko Milicic, I would say that they probably regret that just a little bit.
Won a championship out of it.
So yeah, I suppose, right? But Jesus Christ, I mean, like, what a mess. If they had drafted Carmelo there, you know, I mean, you said they lasted for a while there, but
yeah,
I mean, they could have continued that run of excellence. Yeah. Carmelo, you know, you can go back and forth of whether Carmelo is that great of a player or not, but I mean, shit, you could go with anyone. You could go with Dwayne Wade or Chris Bosh or any of those guys. except for Darko Milicic. I mean, like, Jesus Christ.
Never understood it.
It didn't make sense at the time. Yeah. I mean, big guy, I guess. Yeah. But it never really played in the NBA. It never really played. Didn't play in the NCAA. That wasn't real.
He's only like
18. Was he the one? No, it wasn't him. Was he the one that was working out with the chair? Who was the one working out with the chair? Oh, that might have been a few years later than that. But it was like a guy just fucking. He was being covered by a chair, shooting post moves. I'm like, are you kidding me? It's a fucking chair. Like, how can you tell anything about the guy? He's being covered by a chair. Like, it just. Anyways, so that.
How tall was the chair?
It was not tall. It's like a regular chair.
Regular chair?
Yeah. It was just like. The guy's 7 feet tall, and he's going against a chair. Mm. He's backing him down and then fading him. I'm like, what the fuck are we doing? Like, put a fucking coach out there or something. Like, yeah. A warm body. It was
sounds
just...
like Mike Dunleavy set that up.
Oh, God. Coach. Yeah, he was. Well, it was like one of his fucking scouts or some shit. Because there was no tape on the guy. He was an international guy. There was no tape on him. So they're like, oh, let's just throw him on a court and throw a fucking chair out. And we can see all his post moves. Fucking idiots.
Well, I used to do that when I would play baseball by myself, just set up a chair, and that would be the batter.
Yes, but you weren't sending that video to anyone.
No, that's true. Yeah. Like, those videos are in my closet.
All right, Uncle Rico. That wasn't like your draft video. It's like, hey, Red Sox, I want to be drafted. Check me out. I'm going to hit this chair. Like, what the fuck? Oh, I know there's no batter, but look at, I just nailed that. I wanted to nail that spot on that chair, and I got it right there. Like, you know, come on. So, anyways, that's it. Oh, Warrior 1 to watch this week. I told you it was all NBA draft this week, all NBA, all the time. NBA draft tomorrow NBA night, draft. Warrior 1 to watch. That's the one. Any more fireworks? Holy shit, dude. I'm telling you, we nail the Warrior 1 to watch every week. And yeah. Because we gave the NBA draft the Warrior 1 to watch, I think the Celtics getting Porzingis at number 3. Because there's got to be some fireworks, like right? It. And I'm taking fucking full credit for that. Okay? So.
Hey, we haven't been wrong at all. On
we
this
haven't
show.
Been. It's
eight
true.
Episodes. It's well, true. This is the 8th one, but.
We haven't said anything wrong. And if the Celtics. Here's the thing, right? It comes full circle. If the Celtics end up trading for Porzingis. That's the Warrior 1 to watch. And if they pull Carmelo into that trade, then that's the fucking first episode where I'm talking about getting... Then it's like all over, dude. I'm retiring. I mean, how could you top that?
Yeah. This could be the last
It could episode. Be the last
we'll probably do a farewell show next
that's
week.
That's good point. Good point. Yeah. Could do a farewell show next week, but I mean... Well, you know what? No, that's not true. Maybe we'll just never talk NBA ever again.
Ooh.
Right? Yeah. So it would be like an NFL / MLB / NHL. The NBA doesn't exist because we were so right about the NBA so many times that
quit while
we just
we're ahead.
Can't. Exactly, right? Yeah.
Retire on top.
I like it. So, anyways, what the fuck are we talking about? Anyways, all right, so that's that. So watch the NBA draft tomorrow night. I hope you enjoyed the show this week. And again, if you have any questions, comments, you think we're stupid or you think you like us, send us an email. Again, weekendwarpod@gmail.com. So WKNDWARPOD@gmail. And again, the Twitter handle is exactly the same, @WKNDWARPOD. Okay, so you can, again, email us, tweet us, do whatever you can.
Especially if you think we're stupid.
Especially, I love that, dude. Yeah. Well, let's have a conversation about why you think I'm stupid. That'd be perfect. I love it. So I'm down with that. So anyways, thanks for listening again, and we'll talk to you next week.